to episode 8 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. I'm your host, Brian Sippets. You can reach me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to contact me if you have questions about today's show, or if you'd like to hear us discuss specific issues in future shows. Today I'll be talking to Anaheim Ducks strength coach and HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com partner, Sean Skane. And also, as a special guest, we'll be on the phone with Coach Brandon Bovey from Lev Prague of the KHL. On today's episode, we'll be talking to Coach Skane about the value of keeping your program simple, and we'll be getting a sneak peek at Brandon Bovey's presentation for the upcoming Boston Sports Medicine and Performance Group's Summer Seminar. In just a minute, we'll get on the phone with Coach Skane, but first, in case you aren't familiar with HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, it's a partnership between NHL strength coaches Sean Skane and Mike Potenza, USA Hockey National Team Development Program strength coach Daryl Nelson, and Director of Athletic Development at Endeavor Fitness, Kevin Neild. At HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you'll find hundreds of articles, videos, programs, audio interviews, webinars, and lively forum discussions, all geared towards improving the performance of hockey players. So whether you're a strength and conditioning professional, a motivated player, youth coach, or hockey parent, HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com is the only training resource you'll ever need to produce healthier, stronger, more effective players at any level. New articles, videos, and programs are posted weekly, along with periodic audio interviews and webinars, and all of our coaches weigh in on the ongoing forum discussions. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can gain instant access to our material for just $1 for the first 7 days. You'll be able to check out training videos, current programs, and articles from some of the best strength coaches in hockey, or even get advice from them in the forum. We're sure you're going to love the content, but if you're not completely happy with it, simply cancel your trial membership and you'll be out just $1. After the 7-day trial period, you can continue to be part of the greatest collection of hockey strength and conditioning coaches on the planet for just $14.95 a month. You can also get 2 months free if you sign up for the entire year at just $149. Either option is an incredible bargain for so much material from these great coaches, so don't miss your opportunity to join them. All right, well, we got a lot to talk about today, so let's get on the phone with our first guest, Coach Sean Skane. All right, we're on the phone with Anaheim Ducks head strength coach Sean Skane. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So as a partner in HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you kind of lead the charge in terms of getting interesting articles and forum discussions up on the website. And I wanted to talk to you about one in particular that you put up recently. The article is entitled "One Thing I've Changed My Mind About." Could you kind of tell us a little bit about the article and what made you want to put it up in the first place?
Yeah, sure. It originally transpired from Ben Bruno from strengthcoach.com sent out an email to some of the content providers on strengthcoach.com asking them what they thought they changed their mind about in the year 2013. And I guess I took an approach of, well, I didn't really change my mind on a lot of things, but I definitely want to talk about one thing I definitely changed my mind about, and that's kind of the value of simplicity. I guess for me, I've kind of learned how to get more bang for my buck with doing little, whether that's in the gym, in the weight room, just daily interactions with my players, whether that's post-game or daily warm-up or core routines. I just kind of started to filter a little bit more in terms of my whole entire programming. And I think I just simplified things and kind of just stuck with a couple of basic principles and just kind of, you know, I love that saying by, I think it was Bruce Lee, you know, absorb what is useful, something like that. And I kind of embraced that philosophy, and not just in my profession, but I think also in my life. I mean, I think I've learned how to manage my time a little bit in terms of balance. You know, it's a grind working in the NHL on a daily basis, and I've kind of embraced the opportunity to spend time with my family more when those opportunities arise, and kind of leave work at work and be with my family at home and also the continuing education part. I've always been someone who has always done whatever I could to get better and learn, and I still try to do that, but I've also kind of haven't sweated out if I miss a seminar or I haven't watched the latest webinar on the internet or something like that. So I guess I hope that makes sense, and that's where kind of I learn how to adjust in my whole life, not just my profession.
Right, and I imagine that's sort of a tough thing to do, as somebody in your position is obviously a lifetime learner, and there is so much information out there. Like you said, there's constantly webinars and clinics and CEU opportunities and stuff like that. And I know personally, I haven't been in the strength and conditioning game as long as you have, but for me, it those things are almost things that I really feel like I need to be at. But all the new stuff, like PRI kind of stuff, that maybe new, but it may be tough to implement. What do you do with all that knowledge then? So obviously it's important to learn some of this stuff, and some of it's holding some water, but what do you do with that? How do you keep things simple with knowledge like that?
I think that's the whole process we're always trying to evolve and come up with the best ways possible. I mean, there's lots of initials out there right now and acronyms. I think,
right,
you have your DNS, you have your PRI, you have for me a couple of years ago it was RKC, and you have to kind of pick out, you gotta pick out the good stuff that you can use in your own setting that makes sense and you believe in. I think that's what you have to do as a strength and conditioning coach, especially one who works in a team setting. You got to pick out the good stuff that works and will work and be beneficial to your athletes. I think the key is with that kind of stuff is I have to learn it. And if I'm confused and I don't get it, or if someone else is talking about it and it comes easier to them but doesn't come easier to me, I'm not going to use it in those situations.
Right.
I'm going to make sure I know how to use it the best of my ability and I get it 100%. So, again, it goes back to the filtering of information and coming up with what works best in my environment, which, might not be the best in other professionals' environment on the hockey site. Might not be, what's good for the Ducks might not be good for the Sharks or, Kevin's client at Endeavor or Daryl's kids at the National Development Program. So, you have to use what you believe in that works in your setting the best that you can. And I think I do a good job of that. Again, it goes back to, if I don't get it, how are my athletes going to get it? And that's the key for me, is to make sure I can, I'm not going to say dumb it down, but I got to make sure it's clearly, understandable from a player's perspective.
Right. And I think something that maybe gets lost is when everybody's trying to do the newest stuff, like you mentioned. You said when you simplified things, that you get just a crisper workout from your athletes. And I think a lot of that has to do with, like you just said, they don't understand why they're doing a particular thing. What does this have to do with, what I'm supposed to be doing? So, You got to do what goes along with the culture that you've created there. So,
absolutely. That's the key.
All right. So I guess going into your athletes here, I wanted to know kind of, with the sort of condensed schedule, and we're getting to the end of the line here in terms of the season. What are your programming concerns at this time of year? I know, guys are grinding away right now. They had a nice 2-week break there for the Olympics, but now the condensed schedule is really probably starting to catch up with them. So what are your programming concerns at this time of year for the guys?
For us, it was a 2-week break for a lot of people on the team. However, we had, I think, 6 or 7 players playing over in Sochi. That's like a day after they left from our last game before the break up until 2 days before our game after the break. So
Wow.
You know, that's a third of our roster that was playing in Sochi.
Right.
And pretty formidable, big components of our team that were still playing. But for us as a whole, again, it's more about we're getting in our post-game workouts. I think I've covered that enough on the site, why we do post-game workouts and why we do it to optimize our recovery the best way we can, why we still maintain our strength or try to get stronger. However, at this part of the year where everything is condensed, like you said, we're playing every other night, if not every night. Very rarely do we have a situation where we have 2 days in between games. It's more important to me right now to make sure we're getting in our quick post-game workouts. However, we're also spending more time pre-practice working on, you know, I'm making sure I'm coaching the heck out of our muscle activation sequencing programs, our kind of our prehab stuff for specific players, making sure that stuff gets done on a daily basis. Because as right now, it's all about recovery and playing for points in the standings and getting into the playoffs. And that's why I love this part of the year, because it's just, let's just play, stay healthy, and whoever does that the best comes out on top, I believe. So we'll see.
Yeah, I know as a former player in that situation, you know, sometimes the second game in 2 nights, it's pretty tough to want to get in and get a lift in after the game, but really it's the only time to do it. There's no other options. So, you know, that's your...
No, there's not. I figured that out quickly. 12 or so years ago, it's not the most ideal situation for in-season training, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I also know that if you let yourself slip on that, it doesn't feel good. You know, you definitely lose an edge if you let yourself go a couple weeks without a post-game workout.
Or for us, if we get our high-minute type players, our top-end forwards, our top defensemen, they might be more of a recovery mode after games more than they are getting their lift in, depending on the individual and the style of hockey they play.
Right, and that's a huge challenge for you. I mean, that's sort of one of the biggest coaching challenges for you is to recognize where guys are and who the individuals are and what you're going to be able to get them to do and, you know, what they're going to agree to do and stuff like that. So that's definitely a challenge.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. It's something I've been trying. It's a challenge I embrace, but I think, again, it goes back to creating that culture, like you said, getting that buy-in from every individual on the roster on a daily basis.
Right. All right, well, good stuff, Sean. Thanks a lot. Up next, we're going to be talking to a former intern of yours, Brandon Bovey, is over in Prague as a strength coach right now. Pretty great deal for him, I think.
Great, yeah.
We'll be talking with
He's a good coach. He's a good coach, and he's someone who packed his bags and moved to Russia a couple summers ago, and things are working out for him. I'm pretty happy for him. He's a good coach.
Good. Well, we'll look forward to talking to him, and thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us, and good luck to the boys going forward, and have a good rest of the season here.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that, and to everyone on the site, thank you for being a member, and if there's anything that we can do to make the site better experience for anybody, please let us know.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sean. Take care.
You got it, man. Thanks a lot.
We got it. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we got some great stuff there from Sean Skane. Next up, we'll be talking to Brandon Bovey, who's a strength coach in Prague, Czech Republic, in the KHL. Let's not waste any time. Let's get right to it. We're going to get on the phone with Coach Brandon Bovey.
All right, well, we're on the phone with Coach Brandon Bovey. Brandon currently serves as the strength and conditioning coach for Lev Praha of the KHL. And prior to this season, he spent 2 seasons working for Dynamo Minsk in the KHL. The season before that, he was an intern for HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com's Sean Skane with the Anaheim Ducks in 2010 and 2011. Brandon completed his undergraduate studies in kinesiology from Cal State Fullerton. Brandon, how are you doing today? You are a long way from home.
I'm doing well. Hanging in there. It's weather's a little down right now, but hanging in there. Getting ready to start the second round of playoffs here in 2 days, and just excited to have this opportunity.
All right, good deal. So I know the first question that popped into my mind was, how's a guy from Orange County, California end up over in the KHL as a strength coach? That's a pretty unique opportunity.
Well, the season of 2010-2011, I was an intern with Sean Skahan in Anaheim, and in the summer I was helping him with his summer program, and one of the local pros that worked out with us was Ruslan Soleil, and he kind of had an odd situation where the pro guy started at 8, and but he had to take his kid to school, and he had to start at 9. So I kind of, Sean was nice enough to entrust me enough to take on Ruslan and basically train him. And after a couple of weeks of working with him, he had signed with Lokomotiv Yaroslavl in the KHL, and he just walked in one day and asked me, "Hey, you interested in going to Russia?" I said, "Yeah, why not?" I had no wife, no kids, no girlfriend. You know, I didn't know how serious he was. A few days later, he says, "I'm serious. Are you interested in going to Russia?" I said, "Yeah, why not?" You know, and he goes, "Okay, let me see what I can do." He was talking with his agent. And, you know, unbeknownst to me, you know, the situation that ended up happening with the plane crash, he was originally wanted to get me to Yaroslavl because he knew that the strength and conditioning practice out there just weren't up to date. And so he was really pushing for me to go there, and he really wanted me to go. And then they had signed a guy from Minsk, or his hometown, a strength coach from Minsk, like about a week prior. So he said, "Okay, hey, I can't get you to Yaroslavl, but if you're still interested in going, I'll make a call to my hometown club." There's a club in his hometown. He's from Minsk, Belarus. Mm-hmm. And he made a call to the big guy there. And he called me back the next day and said, "Hey, they're interested. What's going to take to get you out there?" And just gave him a number, and he called me back 2 days later. He said, "All right, we're going to send you a contract." Originally, I had a 2-week contract kind of tryout period. And then they said, "Okay." And then, after that, I could renegotiate if they wanted me to stay, you know. So I basically went out on a limb, you know. I was on a, that happened, all that happened like the fourth week of June. I was on a plane July 11th going out. I'd fronted the money for my plane ticket. I had to pay $500 for a visa. But I just knew, I had heard stories about KHL and all this stuff, but I just knew that Ruslan wouldn't put me in a situation where it would be a bad situation, you know. So I came prepared. I worked hard for those 2 weeks, and from then on, and ended up liking me, and I re-signed and stayed. So there I was, halfway across the world, not knowing the language, and kind of in a situation where, you know, sink or swim.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's nice. At least you had somebody you trust sort of taking you over there. I know I've heard some of the same stories about the KHL, and I think it's cleaned up now for the most part. But yeah, so when you got over there, well, first of all, is that a pretty common practice for each team to have their own strength and conditioning guy? And then also, how many other Americans or North Americans are over there as strength and conditioning guys?
Yeah, it's getting more common for each team to have a guy. As far as North Americans go, besides myself, I know there is two other North American strength coaches in the KHL. It's Barry Brennan, who used to be with Atlanta Thrashers and with Columbus. He's in CSKA, which is the famous, if you remember from the old Soviet times, it's the Red Army team, it's a very famous club in Russia. And then there was another, forget his name, a Canadian guy, worked in the OHL. He was in Amur Khabarovsk, which is one of the farthest teams east. Okay. But I don't know if he is still there because they've had some troubles. with some financial troubles. So I don't know. When they came and played us here in Prague at the end of the season, I don't think he was with the team anymore.
Okay. So
And there was one guy last season in Canada, a Canadian guy that was working in Yaroslavl, but he's not there this year.
Okay, so not completely unheard of. All right, so you had just come from your internship in Anaheim with some great leadership from Sean. Do you feel like you were bringing ideas to the Russian League, or are they pretty well established over there?
Definitely, I thought I was bringing some ideas. I think that was the reason for me, for Ruslan wanting me to come over here, you know, and for them taking his word, you know, was to bring new ideas. I feel like they're still very much caught up in the old Russian Soviet system, you know, where if something is good, more is better, you know, type deal. So definitely bring some new ideas with as far as like foam rolling, activation, mini band stuff, you know, TRX work, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So when I picture the old Soviet system, I'm picturing bilateral lifts and big heavy Olympic lifts and, you know, different forms of plyometrics. Is that still pretty well entrenched there? And are you working with that, or are you kind of working around that?
I mean, obviously, I think there's a room and there's a place and time for, you know, bilateral lifts and Olympic lifting and plyos, definitely, you know, but to the extent that they did them back in the old days, you still deal with that. A lot of guys, you know, they like to do their back squats and stuff like that. But, I just try to do my best and educate them on why it's better to do single leg training and stuff like that. But yeah, you still see a heavy influence of that stuff and the long, steady distance running, you know, and all kinds of stuff like that, you know, even in their practices, like just skating circles for forever for no real reason, you know, other than to just make guys tired, you know.
Yeah, so that sort of leads right into my next question, and I wanted to ask you about your topic for the Boston Sports Medicine and Performance Group. You'll be speaking there in May. Your topic is perspectives on what really matters in ice hockey training. So would you mind giving us some cliff notes about your presentation and you know, sharing what you think really matters?
Well, yeah, just the title, like many roads lead to Rome, you know, because I've spent a lot of time thinking out here. There's quite a bit of travel in the KHL. We play nine times. In Prague, we'll play over nine time zones. So I've done a lot of thinking during that time. And, you know, I look at different programs and I see some of the stuff that goes up. There's some really successful teams out here where I've seen their strength and conditioning programs, and it's the same circuit for the entire season with the same weight, the same 16 stations. And I started to think, how do they have success? You know, and so I started to really think, what is that X factor? You know, and it just, to me, it comes down to coaching, and coaching matters.
Right.
You know, if coaching equals teaching, how do we get better as a teacher? You know, so that's kind of what I'm going to talk about. How do we get, you know, focusing on the human element, types of instruction and feedback that we give, you know, and coaching with compassion, you know, you know, like that old saying, they got to know you care, but they care what you know. And to me, like, I have an acronym for CARE. It's, are you confident? Are you approachable? Are you respectable? And are you empathetic?
Oh, that's great stuff. Yeah, especially, you know, you would maybe dealing with a language barrier there too. So it's all about how you're able to coach and how you're able to communicate to those guys.
Yeah, and I remember I was having a hard time my first season, so I sent Sean an email on him. You know, I think I was trying to do too much. And he just said to keep it simple and to do the best that you can in the situation you're given. And that was really great advice for me, to just kind of really dumb things down and keep it really, really simple. And also try to do less, but do it better.
Right. Well, I think that's great advice for all of us to, the keep it simple, stupid, and make sure you're a good communicator. That's all the stuff that goes into coaching and separates the great coaches from the ones who can just throw a program together.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of where this whole idea stemmed from was, you know, like how many times have you or other guys out there gotten requests to write a program for a guy? Yeah, I can give you the program. I can give you a program. You can go on the internet and get a program. It's not what's on the piece of paper that matters. It's the coaching element, you know, seeing, being there with that. Yeah, I can write you this program, but I got to be there with you. I got to see what's going on with you that day. Do I need to back up? Do we need to do more? You know, all that kind of stuff. You know, cause a lot of times these guys will say, oh, can you give me a program? Yeah, but that's not what really matters.
Right.
It's this interaction. I have to see you on a day-to-day basis, you know, or sometimes this last year I was getting asked, some of the coaches were asking, can we make some videos of your exercises? Yeah, it's fine. But do you understand the principle, why I'm doing what I'm doing?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's definitely where the art of coaching comes in and, you know, the science will take care of itself, but you've got to be able to take care of the art of the coaching.
Yeah, I feel like we have all these new devices to measure everything, and I think we've really lost out on the human element. You know, the art is about connection and connecting with the athletes and finding out how they tick and just getting to know them as athletes. You know, they're people too, you know, and to figure out how do we impact them? How do we make them better? That's the hard part. I think in our, you know, in most undergraduate programs, graduate programs, we're taught all this physiology, biomechanics, and stuff like that. But I think what we lose out on, that we miss out on a lot is the coaching. How do we get better as coaches?
Right. Yeah, that's well said. I mean, we've actually on some of the forums in Hockey Strength and Conditioning, some of the forums we've talked about, you know, what needs to change in strength and conditioning education. And that is a theme that's come up over and over again is you can teach the science, but, you know, there needs to be some hands-on. People have got to learn to work with people.
Yeah.
With athletes.
You know, it's, do we coach with compassion or do we coach for compliance? You know, and there's this, I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy named Clay Eero. He's a football coach in Northern California. And he has a quote that says, it's more important to understand our subjects than to be an expert in our subject. Something I've really been reading a lot about and, you know, really thinking about a lot lately.
And that'll probably take you a long way. All right, Brandon. Well, thanks for taking your time over there. It's late.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's 8 o'clock over here.
Okay, not too bad.
Not too bad. It's, if we were playing in Vladivostok, it would be plus 9 hours from here, so.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, you're certainly a long way from home, but, it sounds like you're doing us well over there and, you know, maybe teaching those teams in the KHL some things.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, old habits die hard, but I think, as we're seeing more North American coaches coming over, I think we'll start to see an influx of, you know, more North American strength and conditioning coaches. And if there's right now in the KHL, there's a 5 import rule and there's 2 ways they're going to go about it next season. They're going to either increase it or decrease it. And I think if you increase it, we'll see more players coming out and, you know, new ideas, you know. It'll take time, you know, but I definitely think they're open to ideas. I know Matt Nichol was out here speaking at a KHL conference 2 years ago, and I know he's done some consulting work with the Russian Hockey Federation. So, you know, and you'll see, I'm starting to see in more and more of the facilities, you know, TRXs, sandbags, you know, Olympic platforms, stuff like that, ropes, you know, it's starting to make its way out here.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty wild to see, you know, going into some of these places. I mean, I've been to a couple arenas where they've had power plates, you know, Vibraflex.
Wow. Jeez.
So, So it's out here. It's just, you know, teaching them how to use it.
Well, hopefully you can continue to be a great ambassador for strength and conditioning out there and help generate some ideas. Thanks again for taking your time to talk with us, and good luck in the second round of playoffs moving forward.
Yeah, thank you. We're playing a team from Ukraine, and we just found out that we won't happen to be travel to Ukraine because of situations. Too bad there, so we'll play.
Oh man,
our games somewhere else. When we start at home, we have home ice advantage, and then when we go on the road, we're gonna play them in Bratislava, Slovakia, which so it's a good thing.
Yeah, so those are things we don't think about too much over here. Is not being able to travel.
Yeah, so it's quite nice. I was quite scared to go there. So it's kind of nice that KHL stepped in and said that they've deemed Ukraine you can't travel there. No teams can travel there right now. So,
man, well, good luck in Bratislava. Good luck at home, and
thanks so much.
Enjoy the rest of your year there in Prague.
Thanks.
All right.
All right. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for joining us on episode 8 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Today we talked about the value of keeping your program simple. And it's not about how many tricks you have in your bag. It's how well you apply the tricks you have. Remember, you can gain access to information from these coaches and many more by becoming a HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com member. This has been Brian Sippets for the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Be on the lookout for episode 9 coming out in April. Thanks, everybody. Take care.